All right, ladies and gentlemen around the Delaware Valley, welcome to the Andrea and Kristen show here on WWDB Talk 860. We have a Sparking the Dream special. We've got a fantastic show, lots of great guests. Kristen, how are you?
I'm good, Joe. How are you?
I'm fantastic.
Hi, everyone.
Everybody.
Hi, Kristen.
Andrea, how are you?
I'm great, Joe. Thanks. How are you?
Cool. So we're kind of in uncharted areas. We're going to bring everybody into the broadcast. But let me tell our listeners, kind of set the table. This is our Sparking the Dream special. It gives us the opportunity not only to showcase fantastic attorneys, from the Philadelphia and surrounding regions, but also, to talk. Today is Martin Luther King Day when we're recording the broadcast. So I know this is airing on the 24th, but this is a diversity initiative that's going to make a difference in a lot of lives. Obviously, want to thank Andrea and Kristen for, being passionate and giving us this opportunity to talk about the initiative and introduce some fantastic lawyers on the broadcast. So what I'm going to do first is I'm going to go to Mark Fridkin. Mark, if you would introduce yourself and the law firm to our listeners.
So my name is Mark Fridkin. I'm an attorney, and I have been practicing law for 50 years.
Right, 50.
That's a long time, primarily in Philadelphia. But I'm in a firm called DeLeonardo Law, and my partner, Gabe DeLeonardo, is also on the Zoom. And since he's smarter than me, I'm only a lawyer in Pennsylvania. He's a lawyer in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and the state of Delaware. We represent people that are injured in accidents, and we only represent the injured person. We never represent the insurance company. And we do that in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. You had mentioned, who my mentor was or who got me into it. And I'm going to have to say, since I grew up so long ago, I was influenced by the TV show Perry Mason. I wanted to be that kind of lawyer, just like he was. And I was a child, but I was interested in the stories, the people, and the court system. And that's when I started thinking about becoming a lawyer.
And so having said that, let me, and I appreciate that. We're going to delve in, we're going to delve into everybody's firm as we go along. And then we're going to kind of get an in-depth kind of view about the firms. Gabe, if you would introduce yourself, tell our listeners a little bit about what you do at the firm.
I'm Gabriel DeLeonardo. I have DeLeonardo Law. I've been working with Mark now for what seems like my entire life.
Me too.
Wanted me to start doing personal injury. But DeLeonardo Law is a personal injury practice. We're in Delaware, Pennsylvania, and Jersey. We have one main anchor office in each state. And, we've been open about 2 years, but I've been practicing about seven, I think, now, what seems like, again, eternity with Mark Fridkin, where I met him. I was a corporate lawyer. He came in my office one day and said, I think you should do personal injury. And it was all uphill or downhill from there. We haven't quite figured it out. But, it's been a great, great ride. And, yeah, we represent injured plaintiffs. Mostly out of Delaware.
And we're going to kind of delve into that. John Marks, if you will.
Ooh, John.
Kristen, as well.
Okay.
I am a personal injury lawyer as well. I've been practicing personal injury law for 35 years or maybe 36. My entire career, my first job was doing personal injury. I really enjoyed helping those that had been injured as a result of someone else's negligence. Found that I was good at it from the beginning, and I've stuck with it and enjoyed my career. 10 years ago, coming up on 10 years ago. It'll be 10 years in April. I founded Kaplan Marsh with my partner, Ted Kaplan, and our main office is in Ballykinwood, and we've been helping, you know, those that have been injured for the last 10 years. You're going to get to hear from one of our crack attorneys, Ashley Killeen, in a moment. But our main focus, our main practice is in our main office is in Ballykinwood, but we practice all throughout, really, the entire state of Pennsylvania, focusing mostly on the eastern half of Pennsylvania and all throughout New Jersey. That's a little about me.
All right. Thank you. And John, if you would, your sound seems to be going up and down, just in case you can adjust it there.
Okay.
So, and let me bring in Ashley. Ashley, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fantastic. So, if you would tell our listeners a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So I'm Ashley Killeen. I've been with Kaplan Marks for 6 years this month. And I could not say enough good things, not only about the practice, but about the two guys that founded it. I have been an attorney. I graduated law school in 2011. So I did a little bit of criminal defense prior to getting into the personal injury side of things, mainly drunk driving defense and alcohol and drug related crimes. And then got into the personal injury side of things and never looked back.
So I'm assuming if you were, you know, probably disorderly conduct and all that, you must have represented Andrea and Kristen.
Listen, I didn't want to say anything, but no, I'm just kidding.
Joe, we're smart enough to talk our way out of it.
Yeah. Right. That's right.
And if anything, Ashley was right there with me. We've known each other a very long time.
How about that? So let me bring in Eric Burkhart. Eric, if you would introduce yourself to our listeners and tell us a little bit about yourself and the firm.
Sure. My name is Eric Burkhart. I do personal injury and criminal defense at Schatt Steinberg and Clayman. I've been here since October of last year. Prior to that, I spent my first 4 years at the public defender's office here in Philly. And then I did a year of insurance defense before I made the switch over to plaintiff's work. But that's pretty much it for me.
Well, we're going to delve deeper into the entire process in different areas. Andrea Sasso, and then of course, Kristen Buttle, remind our listeners a little bit about obviously yourselves in the firm.
Sure. So we work, I've been at Stampone O'Brien Dilsheimer since 2018. It'll be 5 years. Prior to that, I was at another plaintiff's firm for a year and a half. And prior to that, I did about 5 years of personal injury insurance defense, which made me no longer want to be a lawyer anymore. I thought.
Dark side.
Prior to law school, I have worked in marketing for concerts and that kind of thing. So when I realized how mean and horrible it felt to be advocating for the insurance companies, I started to look for jobs in California where I could maybe, or New York, where I could be an agent or something like that. And I said, well, let me try the plaintiff side first and see if that works and how it feels. And it turns out that that was just the small tweak that I needed to represent the victims. And now we're having a lot of fun. And then Buttle just came over and joined us at Stampone O'Brien Dilsheimer. And I'll let her do her intro, but she came over in August and we're just having a good time taking out insurance companies.
And I would like to take some credit because I am the one that told Andrea when we were both working at a defense firm, because I did 1 year of personal injury defense as well. I talk about this all the time. It was my 1 year of recon. That's it. That's all it was. And I convinced her. I said, you should be a plaintiff's attorney 100%. And now she's fabulous. So,
tell us about it, how fabulous you are.
So I have I joined Stampone back in August of this past year. Before that, other than 1 year, I've been representing personal injury and workers' comp claimants and injured individuals my entire career. In fact, before I was actually a lawyer, and all through law school, I worked for Mark Fridkin, and he taught me everything I know about representing injured individuals. So I have been doing that my entire career, and I am so thankful that I am still here doing it today. And at Stampone, we do a lot of construction litigation. We do a lot of catastrophic injury, wrongful death in both Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and actually Kevin O'Brien is barred in Florida. So we have cases in Florida as well. So I'm very lucky for the opportunity to join this fabulous team.
Well, we're obviously happy to have you. I remember the night you called me to tell me you were making the move.
You were at a Phillies game.
And I had to get the announcer to announce it, you know, because it was such a big deal. But ironically, there's so much synergy on this broadcast. Would you say Kevin O'Brien is barred in Florida?
Yes. Yes.
I am barred from Florida.
So. Me too, Joe. me and Andrea just came back from Miami a few weeks ago. We're also very much barred in Florida.
I saw it on CNN. let me kind of delve into each one of your firms in this process, because we've talked, you know, it's across the board a personal injury panel, and so let me kind of
we only brought the best and the brightest on this show, Joe. Come on.
That's right. And
I know how to pick them.
That's what I'm talking about. Synergy. So let me bring in Eric. Eric, we talk about personal injury at the firm. What does that entail for our listeners?
So we represent injured individuals that get injured in, you know, car accidents, premises cases, slip and falls, dog bites, really anything. If they're injured, we obviously put the insurance company on notice. We make, open up the claim. And then if we have to, we, start the litigation process by filing a complaint.
And the name of the firm for the listeners one more time.
Sure. Schatz, Steinberg and Klayman.
So the firm has been around. It's a reputable firm. It's been around, a long time, correct?
Yes.
And having said that, let's go across the board and let's talk about expectations for a client when they come to the firm, what can when they retain you and the firm, what can someone expect?
Well, I think the first expectation they have is to be communicated with, throughout the process from the initial intake, all the way until, settlement or verdict. I think they want to know that their biggest expectation is that you're reachable. You can, explain the process to them and kind of, if they need to have their hand held throughout the entire process. And they just want to make sure that, once you're more responsive and available to speak to them, I think that it helps build trust in the relationship, which is obviously very important in handling any matter.
And so Mark Fridkin, talk about, setting expectations from day one with a client. This can be a very, very difficult time for somebody. Everybody's heard about the cup of coffee at McDonald's in California, $2 million. There are ebbs and flows in a case that can take a while. And somebody comes in, maybe they don't come in, maybe it's their family that comes in. Maybe they're incapacitated and cannot, actually come to the office. But these things just don't happen overnight. Talk about that, setting expectations from day one and the ebbs and flows, so that a client can be their own, so they won't be their own worst enemy and calling and said, because you've set expectations for them, to be able to be an advocate for themselves.
Well, you raised a couple of very, very good points. It's very important that if you are injured, to call an attorney. Now, that doesn't mean you have to hire the attorney, but the attorney is trained in the law and can at least tell you what your rights are so that you can make an informed and intelligent decision whether, in your case, you need representation. Now, if you're up against an insurance company, in my opinion, you're going to need representation because insurance companies will always act like they have your best interests at heart, but they do not. They're trying to save money. And even your own company can become adverse to you. For example, if you're involved in an accident, car accident, under the law of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware, your own company pays your medical bills. That's called personal injury protection. And most people don't understand that, but that's what most states have done. It's called no fault to reduce the cost of insurance. But what will happen is that if you're dealing with your own company on your own, after a month or a couple of weeks, they'll say you're okay and not want to pay for your medical treatment anymore. Because personal injury attorneys work on a contingent fee, which means that if you are in an accident and you hire a personal injury attorney, the attorney will get paid a percentage of how much you get, the client. If there's no recovery, either by settlement or lawsuit or verdict, then you don't owe the attorney any money. Whereas most attorneys, including criminal attorneys, divorce attorneys, insurance company attorneys, they all get paid by the hour, win or lose. And I can't afford to pay for that by the hour. So what happens is because in personal injury, you're on a contingent fee, by the very nature of it, you work in a very close relationship, closer than other areas of law with the client. So it's the, as Eric said, it's the job of your attorney to guide you through all the pitfalls and trouble you're going to have, because you're not only dealing with your own insurance company, you're dealing with the other guy, the defendant's insurance company. And for that, in the world we live in today, you're probably going to need legal assistance.
And it's an interesting point when you talk about needing legal counsel. A lot of times we've had, because the insurance companies have protocols from the moment somebody gets injured, you may not even have called. And yet, having said that, you may be in a situation where at the end of the day, let's just say it's uninsured motor insurance, you're dealing, and it may be an adversary situation with your own insurance company. I'll go to Andrea Sasso. Andrea, how many times, do people call and when they call, they're hesitant to, want to take action under any circumstance, because they just, they say they're not litigious, but they don't understand. Obviously, they paid for insurance. And at the end of the day, they're, like I just said to Mark, the insurance company's protocols go right into effect.
I mean, almost every single time, unless they know someone that has gone through the process before and been screwed, unfortunately, they usually need to be explained that, hey, a lot of times people get rear-ended and the next day, State Farm or Progressive calls them right up and says, oh, we're so sorry. Did you miss work? Oh, what's that? You said that your car seat got destroyed in the accident. Why don't we reimburse you for the time that you missed at work? And why don't we reimburse you for that car seat? Just sign this release. And people don't understand that sometimes you don't know the full extent of your injuries for weeks or months after this accident happens. Sometimes when your adrenaline is running, sometimes you don't know how, if you're going to end up with chronic pain, that kind of thing. So I just try to explain to them that, they're not your friend and, you've been paying insurance every single month. And this is just like, if I was following my best friend and I rear-ended her by accident, I would hand her my insurance card and she should make a claim for fixing the property damage. Similarly, you need to protect and reimburse your body for what you have to go through you know, you don't have time to go treat 3 days a week. You deserve to be compensated for that. So I wish I had a nickel for every time I had to give the pep talk and the explanation, but thank God people listen to me. And the best thing I can say to them is, look, just talk to me and I can handle the business stuff that you probably don't know the answers to, and you can just get better.
And, you know, get the education, there's get the information. There's also no obligation and there's no out-of-pocket cost.
Right.
You know, for the consultation. John, let me say this, just so you understand this. Don't worry about me, okay? I have full coverage, all right? So, you know, I got an accident. I got full coverage. So don't sweat it. You've never heard that before? Just asking.
Of course. We hear that all the time. But I just want to piggyback on some of the things other counsel have said. When people tell us, well, I'm not litigious, I'm like, oh, well, we love litigious people, little chuckle. People don't understand that they have rights, that they very well may have injuries, that they need to protect themselves, that they're going up against an insurance company that didn't wake up this morning and decide that they're going to be, you know, a multi-billion dollar insurance company. They have hundreds of years worth of experience handling these claims. They're going to, I don't like to call them tricks, but some of their practices can be deceptive. People need counsel. Mark said it. You need to speak to somebody right from the beginning and at least understand your rights and then make an informed decision. And we always encourage people to go forward if they've been injured in an accident. The insurance has been placed. It's out there for them to use. It's their legal right. They should exercise it.
And no one really knows if something is a catastrophic injury, even if it was seemingly a fender bender. We had, and I've talked about it many times on air, my wife, when we were kids, we got hit from behind by some kid at a red light. He took off, the light turned green, but we were at the red arrow going left. That had not turned, a left-hand turn. And the kid behind us must've been checking out the pretty girl to the right, because he took off with the main traffic and hit us, not from very far. Didn't seem like a big deal. Wasn't that he was 10 feet from us or even less. So my wife didn't seem injured. About a week or two later, big time hurting. And then for the entire year, we never filed litigation. The insurance company did fix, the fender bender we had. She ended up having a blown disc in her neck. And if you've seen her now, she's got a scar right across there. So it seemed like a fender bender, but it clearly wasn't. And so having that education from day one is incredibly important. Let me go to Gabe. Gabe, you heard Mark talk about the contingency fee. And to me, every time I hear that, I get goosebumps because I can't really imagine it, the rest of the world gets paid up front or, hourly. You guys, there's no out-of-pocket cost for an individual who comes in, not only for the consultation, but, if they retain you. And this goes for everybody on the broadcast. Talk about that and the fact that sometimes cases can get the hiring experts and doing all those things. The cost for the case can get incredibly extensive. But elaborate on that and talk about the fact that it never bounces back to the client.
Yeah, so we work on a contingency-based matter. So we do advance all costs. As far as experts go on that point, yeah, they can get very expensive. We do a lot of premises and playground cases. So for example, we have a playground expert that we have as a go-to expert, and that expert can cost between like $2,500 and $7,500, just an advanced cost. Now we've gone forward and investigated those playground cases and, it turns out there may not be anything and the client doesn't owe us any money, if there is no liability. Now, if there is, we just get paid reimbursed at the end. So they can cost a lot, but, you know, obviously that's our job as attorneys, is to investigate and take that risk. There is no risk on the client at all. So again, going back to what Mark said, it's always good to call and contact an attorney and just investigate and see what your rights are. You know, all the risk is on the attorneys, you know, but at least the client can get an informed response and know what's going on. So as far as contingency goes, you know, we just take a percentage of, you know, we don't get paid unless the client gets paid. That's the end of the story. If we're not successful, they don't owe us anything. So.
No, it makes sense. And you know, but it's still mind boggling, you know, when you talk about some of the costs that go out, but people are afraid often to go to a lawyer because they think they can't afford it. And when somebody gets injured in a work accident or a auto accident, personal injury, slip and fall, premises liability, a lot of people don't know that they're not putting out of pocket costs out there. So they don't get the opportunity. I mean, because they know a lot of them are injured, maybe catastrophic, but either way, they may be out of work. And so they said, you know, I can't afford that attorney. So it's always good for them to know that. Kristen Buttle, we're gonna start in a sense our inspirational segment, and I'd like you to kind of lead off. Our Spark in the Dream special. So, want to welcome all of our listeners into the Andrea and Kristen show here on WWDB Talk 860. This is a Spark in the Dream special. Got a great panel of attorneys on the broadcast. Kristen, if you would talk about, you know, the you know, as a successful person, and that's what we have on this broadcast, talk about the individuals that have made a difference in your life, you know, growing up and at the same time as a lawyer.
So first and foremost, I want to thank everybody who is on this broadcast with us right now, because to be honest with you, all of them have some influence in my practice. Especially, I've already told you that Mark Friedkin is one of my mentors and literally taught me everything I know. I've been very, very lucky as an attorney and as an individual. I have many great mentors, and not everybody gets the chance to experience that. And I think that that's why this Sparking the Dream broadcast is really, really something that is going to, I'm happy to be a part of and grateful to be a part of. We're going to be giving underprivileged students the chance to meet with other attorneys and just kind of get their, you know, maybe they're interested in law, maybe they're not. But, you know, I have to say, I would not be anywhere I am today without the people that helped me get there, without the people that, you know, Mark can tell you, he helped me learn how to write a motion. You know, I was very lucky. I had family and friends that were in the legal field, so I was easily able to have access to, Mark has been practicing for 50 years. You know,
that's incredible.
I know.
I think wrong at the beginning.
So we all need to give him, you know, this is also very near and dear to my heart that he's here today, because he will be retiring soon. And I am so, so happy to be able to highlight him in his 50 years. So I was lucky enough to have someone who, you know, and to this day, he is there for me. I'm able to go to him with all types of, you know, issues and advice. And I think that the fact that we're helping other students kind of be able to network and sort of get their you know, meet people, because not everybody has the chance to do that. So I'm happy to be able to give back. So thank you everyone for coming on and participating, because this is going to be nice. It's being good.
Let's go to Mark. I know it, obviously it's been a while, but I'll also say paying it forward in your case. I mean, obviously, as a young lawyer and as a young person, you know, we've all been fortunate enough in one way or the other to have family members on the way up. You know, you just don't go to law school from grade school, you know. But sometimes they may be sports coaches or you know, family members. Talk about a little bit about those who made a difference in your life and why it's so important to pay it forward?
So I actually did not really have a mentor, not one person. Yeah. Nevertheless, as you go through your career, you do rely on people with more experience, because in law school, they teach you the law, but they don't teach you how to be a lawyer.
They teach you contracts.
And there's a difference between what you learn in law school or any school and the practical application. So, I mean, I was lucky enough to have other lawyers in my family growing up. I have cousins who are about 10 years older than me. And when I went to college, you know, in Philadelphia, I mean, I'm a Philadelphia guy, and when they explained to me that law was a very good profession to go into, that law is not always what you see on television. Remember, I said Perry Mason. I'm not that kind of lawyer, but that's where I first learned about it. Law, knowledge of law helps you in everyday relationships, whether it's how you deal with other people or strangers or in any situation, you use the legal knowledge that you get. And it's not contentious like you see on TV, because that's what's interesting. It's a battle, but their actual practice of law is not a battle every day. I actually recommend that people go to law school, and then they can use it any way they want. But I didn't have an individual person or somebody I looked up to that taught me. I just didn't.
Well, it's interesting because you certainly are paying it forward. You hear the words of Kristen. So whatever you're doing, obviously, you're impacting, out of our legal professionals of today. Let me jump on there to Eric. Mentors, inspirations on the way up, Eric?
Sure. Kind of like Mark, I wouldn't say that I had a specific mentor. Early on in my career, I would say it was probably my supervisors and colleagues in the public defender's office, and kind of just sitting around the war room with them and brainstorming different strategies and stuff like that, that really kind of honed our ability, my ability and my colleagues' ability in the courtroom would be, just that kind of teamwork, camaraderie that we had in that office amongst the supervisors and, the rest of the staff attorneys. Since I've switched to handling a lot of civil matters, she probably won't let me live it down, but I would have to say Kristen. Earlier on in the call, I think that Andrea was speaking of how Kristen kind of harassed her and finally convinced her to get into the plaintiff side. Well, they both did it to me.
You're welcome.
About a year ago at this point, while I was still doing insurance defense, but obviously they both succeeded. I'm doing plaintiff's work now. Since making that transition, I call Kristen with countless questions, constantly kind of bounce things off the wall with her. So she would probably be up there as well.
And let me ask you a question. Kristen, has Eric been on a previous broadcast? Is there a relation here?
There is.
There is.
Me and Rick are the two lawyers in our family. We are cousins, and we're the only lawyers in our family. And he was on the January episode last year because he is also a mummer. So he's not telling us. Yes, me and Rick are mummers together as well. So in addition to paying it forward in that way, we also have fun on the weekends.
Absolutely. Welcome back to the broadcast.
Thank you.
Let me go to John, if you will.
Sure. I didn't have a mentor growing up, but my first mentor once I started practicing law on the first day was Joe Murray. And he actually passed away last year, which was really tragic. And what I learned from Joe was, one, how to communicate with your own clients, but two, how to just put your head down and work as hard as you can on behalf of your clients every single day. He just was a zealous advocate and fought to get justice for his clients. And I hope some of that rubbed off on me. And, you know, may he rest in peace, as I said.
And I appreciate that, no question. And finally, Gabe, if you will.
If I could chime in, Ashley, too. She's quite the mentor.
Yes. John, I believe that you fit that role.
No, not me, no. Someone much, much closer to her.
Yeah, anyway. And Gabe, if you will, and then we'll go to Ashley.
So mine would be Mark Friedkin as well. You know, Mark, you're getting a lot of shout-outs today. Not only am I lucky enough to have Mark as a mentor here, but when I left my last firm, it was a little bit of a Jerry Maguire who's leaving with me. You know, so Mark came along as well, and you know, I'm gonna be happier. So, you know, all the same stuff that everybody said so far, but you know, just the way that he practices is a quality way. You know, there's multiple ways that you can practice law. And you know, I think he practiced on behalf of the clients in the best way that's possible.
Ashley, if you will.
Yeah, of course. So I had something a little bit closer to home, literally. My dad is an attorney, Steve Jones. He's retired now, but he was Philly born and raised, ended up going to college up in Boston. So I was raised in Boston, ended up back in Philly. But yeah, he was an attorney up there. I learned everything from him. It's interesting. I thought I wanted to be an attorney, went to college, went to St. Joseph's University, then left college and decided to work in the financial field for a little bit. And then come 2007, I thought, you know, it's now or never. And I made a smart move there going to law school because 2008 wasn't so nice to the financial markets. So ended up in law school, commuted to Boston for 2 years after law school to train with my dad. Every either Sunday night or like 3 a.m. on Monday morning, I would get in the car and drive to Boston. I would stay in Boston Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, train with him. He was on trial literally every single day, jury trials up there. So I would be there every single day with him, going to trial, learning from him, and then coming back either Thursday night or Friday morning to work down here. But yeah, he used to take me to court with him as a kid. And I don't know if that was to, you know, help me learn what he did or to get sympathy from a judge or a jury, because there was a little girl sitting in the courtroom with him, but that's neither here nor there.
Good move, Dad. Good move.
Yeah, very good move. But yeah, I have very fond memories of that as well. Again, the judges would sometimes let me sit up there with them. Not sure how professional that was either, but I loved it. I loved being in the courtroom. I loved, you know, watching him, as I say, like tell stories, right? And he taught me very early on that developing that client relationship is so incredibly important, because, you know, they're putting a lot of trust in you when you take on their case. And, you know, these cases can sometimes take 2, 3, especially with COVID, 4, we're seeing 4 and 5 years now. So, you know, I have a case that I just resolved from, I think it was 2017. And she called me and said, I'm so sad. I'm not going to get to talk to you anymore, because they really do become part of your work family at that point in time. And I think, you know, we have hundreds of cases, but giving those clients that individualized experience and having the staff that helps give that individualized experience is super important. And that's something that my dad taught me very early on, was making sure that they know that you're there for them, making sure that you're available, returning calls as soon as possible. If you can't return a call, send a text. And also paying attention too, right? Details matter. I'll never forget the first time I was watching for one of his cases, watching a surveillance video. And while the video was running, I was still in law school, I think. And I was asking him questions as the surveillance video was running. And he said, pause the video. And he said, I'm going to say this to you once, and I don't want to ever have to say it again. He said, when you're watching a video like that, you're doing nothing else, because the smallest detail could be in there when you're turning your head to ask a question, and your client is relying on you to make sure that you are their eyes and ears in that very moment. And so every time I'm watching a video now, it's like, there is nothing else happening. And that was probably 14 years ago that he said that, and it stuck with me. So you're your client's eyes and ears with the insurance companies, with defense attorneys, with the, you know, the adjusters, even on UIM cases, you know, when they're supposed to have your client's best interest at heart, you're their eyes and ears, and you really got to make sure that they're your number one focus. So I did have something a little bit more close to home, like I said, literally in my home with my dad as my mentor, but you know, he taught me a lot of great things and I'm very grateful for that.
Well, I mean, that's fantastic. It's a great way to end the segment because it's a, you know, the next segment is our Spark and Dream segment. And you know, this, it really goes hand in hand in what we're doing. And the fact is that having mentors and role models and individuals that inspired you on the way up or paying it forward is such a big part of this. Let me kind of introduce everybody and our listeners. You know, so we get an opportunity to do talk radio, legal talk. We do the labor union shows. We do a ton of radio, and we get the opportunity to meet great people. And we've been doing the legal talk for about almost 8 years. And we have the opportunity, you know, it's the ultimate networking platform, you know, introduce, you know, lawyers and network everybody and also get exposure to the listeners and all those things. And a lot of professionals and have benefited along the way. One day, not too long ago, about 6-7 months, I realized that, you know, I was on my way to a broadcast, you know, some really outstanding attorneys on it, pretty acclaimed. And it hit me that, you know, at the end of the day, it's us in a room. A lot of times we're at the station, but sometimes we're, you know, at the office. We pre-record the shows, have a great experience, and then it airs on the radio. And the only people that really, well, the lawyers get the benefit because they're, in a sense, networking, and it's a big referral network. But it is me. I'm in a room with some outstanding attorneys, and I thought to myself, why should I be the only one in that room? There have to be tons of individuals who aspire for success, but just don't have the opportunity to sit in that space. And I don't mean in a room in an auditorium. I'm talking, you know, to experience what we experience. Okay. And so that's where the Spark in the Dream initiative was born. It is a program that allows us to utilize the platform, the media platform of talk radio, to provide aspiring students from underserved and under-resourced communities with an unprecedented opportunity to attend and participate as part of our lawyer-to-lawyer network talk radio platform. And what we are laying it out and what it's going to be is as part of the ultimate career day experience. We're going to do it, you know, obviously in different fields, but what we do, a large majority of it is legal radio. And so these students attend, they participate, they appear on the broadcast, they tell their stories, their hopes and their dreams. They also get to learn from the attorney's path to success as part of the attorney show segment. They meet and they interact with the attorneys. They get to ask questions, tour the law firms, go to lunch. And really, for many of the students, it's the first time in their lives that they literally have a seat at the table. And like I said, as part of the ultimate career day experience. That's why your experiences matter. You know, Ashley, you talk about your father and having that experience. And when we talk about mentors and role models, not just in the law, parents being there for you growing up, a coach, an athletic coach, okay? Somebody who, you know, I was going through a family situation about 8 years ago, and I said to my high school coach when I saw him at a banquet, man, those 100-yard dashes that we ran are coming in handy today. And so, you know, those experiences, many people don't have them. And so, and when you talk about the challenges of young individuals aspiring that want to be successful, a number of them, they don't have the role models. They don't have the blueprint for success. You know, they've never met a lawyer or they've never met somebody who, you know, that's had success at the levels or somebody who looks like them, who, is out there doing what they would only dream about doing on a daily basis. And they don't, they've never met anybody that can tell them and actually show them that they can do it. And this is how. And so the blueprint for success, and of course, a high probability of getting their dream derailed. We live in Philadelphia. We see the, or the surrounding suburbs. We see the stories, that every day in the newspaper and on the evening news. And this gives individuals an opportunity. They also get their 15 minutes of fame. In other words, they're going to be on a radio broadcast just like we are right now. And so it's a really special experience. Then we're going to talk about, we're going to have follow-up programs and, internships, a number of things that give these opportunities a real meaning. And at the same time, sometimes we'll have business leaders on, even labor leaders. We do the labor show in Philadelphia with the union community. We'll have, for kids that go to trade school that may not be acclimated for college, they have an opportunity at having that experience. And it's one or two kids on a broadcast. And we're going to ask questions about, the attorney's path. Tell us, how you got from point A to point B. And this is what the Sparking the Dream program, is all about. This is what we're, putting together. I've been doing talk radio for 8-9 years. And, we have a nonprofit, Advocacy United. And one of the things, how we got into the lawyer radio is we have an injured workers program with the unions. And so a lot of, we want to educate, obviously injured workers on what they should be doing in if they get injured on the job from the point of injury. And then of course, in a personal injury, I what you guys do on a daily basis is really in a sense miraculous. You talk about the contingency fee agreement. I've been doing this for 9 years, still cannot believe that exists. And some of these cases can last 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And, lawyers provide a contingency fee experience that provides an opportunity for somebody to get justice who normally would never be able to do it. And by the way, there's also on the broadcast, we're still showcasing our attorneys and what they do. We're still networking them. But now the kids are going to be on the shows. Okay, we're talking high school, maybe college, and creating relationships is what this is about. That's why we're not going to have 20 kids at a broadcast. They're going to be at the set. I mean, normally we do it face-to-face, at the set or in at the station. And they're going to get the network and with the lawyers. Yes, it's a career day experience unlike any other, but I think the lawyers will also get a lot out of it. And at the same time, they're promoting their appearances to their communities. So there's exposure across the board, which is kind of a residual effect. And pretty cool. So, it's something we've been talking about for a long time. It's why I wanted everybody on the broadcast to talk about a little bit about your path, a little bit about your mentors, because one of the things that people say about, who are from underprivileged or under-resourced communities is they don't have the relationships. They don't have the connections. You talk about, and by the way, and that goes, from a lot of walks of life. You talk about your father, man, oh man, what a great opportunity. I was fortunate enough, my dad, I certainly wouldn't be, doing what I'm doing if it wasn't for him and his relationships, really a lot of my careers, having the opportunity to have those relationships and get those introductions. So that's what the Sparking the Dream initiative is all about. And I'm ecstatic. And what, by the way, the ask for this is, I mean, obviously I appreciate Andrea Sasso, Kristen Buttle, Stampone O'Brien and Dilsheimer, dedicating the show to this. And the ask is when we have a show and you get invited to it, please be a part of the show. you know, I want the kids to get the opportunity, young adults who aspire to for success, to meet individuals like yourself. When you get that call from Andrew Christian, by the way, Sonny Banks has been a big part of this initiative. And so he, you know, he's, we've done a lot of, everybody on the broadcast has done shows with Sonny Banks. And so when you're all invited to the broadcast, be a part of it, see what it's about, get a chance to meet the students, and you'll find that you'll make an incredible difference in their lives. But I think everybody else will be inspired as well. So, you know, we're going to be closing up. I'd like to, you know, give the mic to Kristen and Angie real quick and talk about, you know, your thoughts on it.
I would like to, again, just thank everybody. Of course, Joe, I picked the best of the best to be a part of this initiative. I can tell you one thing that everybody on this broadcast right now is, they're some of the best people with the biggest hearts. So I think that it's going to be a good initiative. It's going to be good. The kids are going to meet some really good people, not just good attorneys.
Absolutely. Angie?
Yeah, I just want to, you know, kind of speak to helping out people that don't have, like you're saying, the connections, they don't have lawyers in their family, they might not even have college graduates in their family. And it's important to, you know, I think recognize that all they need to do is you know, find that skill set or that passion and identify that part of their personality. And a lot of times that can take them all the way. You know, I was just watching Barbara Corcoran from Shark Tank, and she was saying, I don't hire rich kids. The rich kids were given the connections. They went to the best schools. They already knew everybody. I like to hire kids that were servers, that were waitresses, bartenders, that know how to deal with the public. And you can't teach grit. And so, you know, I want to grab those kids out there that think that they don't have any, you know, any connections and things like that, and teach them, no, you have grit, and we just have to help you get developed, and you can do what we're doing also.
Awesome. Let me go around, and I appreciate that, Angie. And again, I want to thank both of you for, you know, for doing this and inviting these great people. I want to go around the horn, get everybody's contact information, a couple words from everybody, about 30 seconds as we roll out of the broadcast. Mark, if you will.
What were you asking for, Jeff?
Any contact information for listeners, you know, about sure. The law firm?
I'm with the firm of DeLeonardo Law and Gabe, and my phone number, my direct number is 484-763-9875.
Awesome. Jonathan Marks?
Sure. I'm with Kaplan Marks, and our phone number is 610-660-7780. If you want to reach me by email, it's John, J-O-N, no H, at Kaplan Marks, KAPLUNMARX.com. And I want to thank all of you for having me here today. It's been a pleasure. Awesome.
Gabe, if you will.
Yeah, so I'm at DeLeonardo Law with Mark. My cell phone number is 856-834-8272. And you can contact me at GAD@DeLeonardoLaw.com. Thanks again for having both of us on here as well.
Awesome. And Ashley, if you will.
Yeah, of course. I'm Ashley Colleen, attorney with Kaplan Marks. And my email, John gave the phone number already. My email is Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-Y, at Kaplan with a U, Marks with an X, .com. And we serve all of Pennsylvania and New Jersey.
Awesome. And Eric Burkhart?
Sure. Eric Burkhart. I'm at Schatz Steinberg and Klayman. My cell phone number is 215-920-1089. Or you can reach out to me at email, eburkhart@s2firm.com.
Awesome. And Andrea Sasso, contact information for yourself and at the firm?
Sure. We're at Stampone O'Brien Dilsheimer. My email address direct is asasso@stamponelaw.com. You can call us at 215-663-0400 and sharing a wall with me.
You guys can, yeah, exactly. I don't know if you can hear the echo. We literally share a wall. So everybody can contact me at kbuttle@stamponelaw.com. Again, please take a look at our website, stamponelaw.com.
Awesome. Listen, I want to thank everybody on the panel for joining the Sparking the Dream initiative show. Obviously, with Andrea Sasso and Kristen Buttle. Obviously, I want to thank everybody for tuning in to WWDB Talk 860. And of course, we want to thank Sampone, O'Brien, and Dilsheimer for making it happen. On behalf of everybody on the panel, I'm Joe Dougherty. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, everyone.